Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the topic of spirit. We're so glad you could join us today. We're recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. Excuse my squeaky voice, but I told God if I could talk, I'd be here, so here I am. And we will start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from page 185 of the Blue Book and 224, also of the Blue Book. The peace of love is published, and the sword of the Spirit is drawn. Nor will it be sheathed, till truth shall reign triumphant over all the earth. Truth, life, and love are formidable. Wherever thought, felt, spoken, or written, in the pulpit, in the courtroom, by the wayside, or in our homes, they are the victors, never to be vanquished. Oh, may the light that is never dim so encompass you that no night is there. May his angels hold thee in their power, and songs of science be heard in the intuitions of thought, so your life is in tune with the rhythm of God. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful, thank you. And now the watching point.
Yeah. This is watch 40. This watch lets you believe that spiritual progress consists in anything but a spiritualization of thought, of which your acts are the honest expression, that your outward life may attest the sincerity of your effort to think right. Paul's theology declares that, regardless of man's thoughts, his acts are the important thing. Science says that unless man's thoughts are changed, no change in his outward life or acts weighs aught in the spiritual scale. Since thought is cause and acts are effect, it is spiritualization that marks spiritual growth.
Thank you, and comments on that.
Well, to me, that points to walking how you talk and just being careful that you don't have coming out of your mouth gossip and things that you know better than.
Thank you.
And it's not easy. Sure is hard all the time.
I think that people feel your thought more than even, you know, you may act a certain way, but they feel your thought. So thought is very important. And how can I act as though I love someone if my thinking about them is so negative, for example? So thought is always important. After all, we are spiritual beings. Mrs. Eddy has made sure first that Genesis first is very important to Christian scientists, so that we know that we are spiritual beings. And if we are God's image and likeness, that it makes it even so much more imperative that we know that we are spiritual beings. Therefore, our thinking also has to be in constant contact with what is spiritual, what is spirit, which is God.
Yeah, and doesn't this get to the point that it's our spiritual or mental state that is the important thing? The outward appearance is irrelevant, really, isn't it? When we are mental beings, what is in our thought really governs our lives. And outward appearance is either consistent with that or it's inconsistent, in which case we are hypocrites, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that when it comes to living, healing, teaching, doing anything that we do, it's our motive, it's our mental position that governs whether what we do is correct or not. Mrs. Eddy used to test the mental atmosphere in her home when they would sit down at the table, right? And if anybody's mental thought wasn't right, she would detect it and correct it. Mrs. Evans used to do that with us oftentimes when we would be together. If she detected a mental state that wasn't, you know, that wasn't on, you know, on cue, if you will, or with consistent with life, truth, and love, yeah, she would go around the table and test everybody and find out where the mental problem was. So, and can, you know, can we do anybody any good from a false motive, from a false mental state?
No, you can't.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is really fundamental, isn't it? I mean, it's not just a sometime thing that we need to check. This is something we need to check 24/7.
I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, if my belief in what I've been told in the hospital is, if I have faith in that, you know, it's obvious that, okay, I may be declaring the truth, but I'm not really believing what I'm saying. So, thought, very important, I feel.
Yep.
Thank you. Jeremy, you want to do the golden text, please?
Yeah. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Christ Jesus.
Thank you. And that word quicken is so helpful to make alive, to revive, to resuscitate. To make alive in a spiritual sense, to communicate a principle of grace, to revise, revive, to cheer, to reinvigorate, to refresh by new supplies of comfort and grace. And that, you know, Psalm 119, we had a whole Bible study, maybe more than one, on that beautiful psalm, and it's well worth going back to. It's so humbling. You know, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Give me understanding. Make me go in the path of thy commandments. And incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and then quicken thou me in thy way, because I have longed after thy precepts. So think about that, and think about, I know I took a lot of notes for the Bible study that we had. It was maybe even a few years ago now, but it was, yeah, very beautiful. To just get on your knees and ask God for help, which leads me to something very beautiful that Nancy found.
In Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I thought about the Spirit leading me, so I looked up lead, to guide by the hand as to lead a child, the sense of drawing as well as directing. To guide or conduct by showing the way. And then Mrs. Eddy writes in Unity of Good, the way in spirit is the way of life, truth, and love, redeeming us from the false sense of the flesh and the wounds that it bears. from Matthew 4, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. He does not say for as many as live by the Spirit, but as are led by the Spirit, to show that the Spirit must be the guide and the ruler of our life, as the pilot is of the ship and as a rider is of his horse. The phrase is borrowed either from those who are guided and directed as a blind man in his way, or for those who, wanting strength of their own, are born and carried of others. So we are both ways led by the Spirit. For we can neither see our way unless the Spirit directs us, nor have we strength to walk in it unless the Spirit assist and draw us along. The Spirit leads and draws us irresistibly and necessarily, and yet not violently or against our will. Though we are unwilling before, yet we are made willing afterward, so willing that we desire and pray to be led by the Spirit. And I liked this little explanation from Benson's commentary. For as many as are led and guided and governed by the Spirit of God, as a spirit of truth and grace, of wisdom and holiness, they are the sons of God. That is, they stand related to God, not merely as subjects to their king or servants, but as children to their father. They are unspeakably near and dear to God, being spiritually begotten of him and partaking of his nature. That really moved my heart.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. The thought of being led by the Spirit. Not to live in the Spirit, but led by the Spirit. And to think about am I being led as a little child by the Spirit. Think about that during the day as we go about our day. And what does it mean to quench the Spirit?
I looked up the word quench and it said to dispel, or in that regard, like to put it out. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but that's what I recall from yesterday.
Thank you.
Calling it, putting something in front of it, calling, that's what comes to my thought, quenching the Spirit. But I love the Psalm 37 and 23, where it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. I use that a lot. It's helped me a lot when ambition, or in the past, when you want to do something, you're just going forward. You're not allowing the Spirit to lead you. I wasn't. So I found out that the only way to live, have any peace, is to be led by God, by the Spirit.
Thank you.
I kind of think of quenching too as like fulfilling the need of the Spirit, or the calling of God. You know, it's sort of almost like a fulfillment of it. You have to kind of follow the demands of Spirit.
Well, the word quench, extinguish, quiet, repress, destroy, and to watch myself this week how I was quenching the Spirit. If I'm not letting that still small voice, not listening to it, letting other things push it out of my thought for some reason, never good. So yeah, don't quench that Spirit. It's a gentle voice, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Spiritual sense, just speaking gently. Barry, did you want to say something?
I wanted to say something as well, because all week I have had this belief of not being able to speak. And so I thought, I will follow and rejoice, meaning that God is speaking for me and God is my voice. And so I'm really grateful that we can let our spirit be quenched with light, with love, and with forgiveness.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? All right, Chardell.
I went to our website and put in Spirit Knows All, and this is what came up. The Inner Man of Spirit by Peter V. Ross. I'd like to read some of the sentences. I find them very, very interesting, wonderful. When you close your eyes and silence the noises brought in by the five senses, you observe that you are a consciousness rather than a corporeality. Expansion takes place immediately. Not a material mortal, certainly you are not. And yet, day by day, we drop from our native level of spirituality to the unnatural level of materiality. We do it voluntarily, apparently, and by the simple yet devastating process of appraising ourselves as mortals, when all the time we are immortals, with structures spiritual and enduring, inhabiting a realm where security and satisfaction are guaranteed. One can, this moment, orient himself. That is, he can change his mind and become sensible, insisting hour by hour that he is a man and acting the part, which should not be difficult when he remembers that man is as already stated, is an intelligence, not a lump of clay. I just think that's wonderful.
Thank God for Peter V. Ross. He left us a treasure.
This week I was thinking maybe the sense of being a spiritual idea, a spiritual being, is so important to this cause of science. That's why she gave it, Mrs. Eddy, that is, for us to say it so often, and it's rather unfortunate that as frequently as we say it, somehow maybe we don't heed what it really means a lot. Because that's the difference, really, as far as I see, in being an ordinary, being a Christian and being a scientific, living science.
Thank you. I have mentioned to you about this newspaper that's been having what it calls virtue medicine. And it's almost every week they have a new one. We've had gratitude, courage, forgiveness, honesty, joy, generosity, charity. And one of the newer ones is awe, A-W-E. Admiration and reverence. It's interesting to me that people are recognizing more and more the importance of expressing God's qualities, as in miscellaneous writings. God's preparations for the sick are potions of his own qualities. And all of those are potions of his own qualities. Now, in the lesson this week where it talks about, again, about quickening, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And
I've mentioned this, but the fact that very same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead is with you now, quickening you, all those words, those beautiful words, but that means it's so powerful. Now, to me, that is awesome. It's just awesome. And so much of what we study and read in our textbook and Bible, we should feel awe-inspired by it. We should just say, wow, cowabunga, right?
Yes, right.
Because otherwise, you know, it's the same old, same old, same old. But that is so wonderful. Now, in this week, another, I guess this is a virtue medicine as well. And it's laughter. The title of the article is Laughter Can Reverse Disease and Help You Live Longer. And here's how. Now, this mother said instead of giving her children vitamins in the morning, they tell jokes and they laugh. How about that?
Yes.
And it starts off, the article says, imagine walking into your doctor's office expecting another prescription, only to have them hand you a slip of paper that says, watch a comedy show daily. Far-fetched, maybe, but science suggests that there's truth in the adage, laughter is the best medicine. Laughing isn't just a feel-good bonus. It's a powerful wellness tool that boosts immunity, reduces stress, and even helps the body fight cancer cells. Maybe it's time to start viewing laughter as an essential nutrient. A while ago, you know, Mrs. Evans would talk to us about Norman Cousins. And I think he was a doctor, but he prescribed to this laughter. And I mean, it's really true. If you can laugh, you feel so much better. And so try it. It goes into research suggests that laughter triggers measurable health and enhancing changes throughout the body. So it helps in diabetes, mood, cancer, memory, immunity, longevity. And this woman, you know, keeps a lot of joke books around the house. And they talk about, first thing in the morning, they start laughing, sharing joy. It says, laughter's 30 times more likely to happen in social settings than when you're alone. So think about that. I know here are movie nights. We haven't lately, but we'll often watch a funny movie. And I mean, I can just laugh till tears stream down my face, and it's very therapeutic. I'm grateful. I grew up in a home. I had a mother that loved to laugh. And, you know, I had two older brothers, and it seems like we were always laughing about something. And we could laugh at ourselves, as we talk about mortal mind doesn't like to be laughed at. So laugh more. Be happy. And don't quench that spirit. You know, there's always the dour one. Oh, we shouldn't be laughing. Oh, it's not holy. Well, who says that? And I know once reading where you knew that Jesus was happy and loved to laugh because the little children loved him. And little children aren't attracted to people who are all dour and, right? No. They like people that can act like children themselves. So yeah, see the positive things in life. So you be childlike and have a lot of laughter in your home. You'll see a difference, I'm sure. So,
when you said childlike, Lenny looked at me and said, "See, there you go, Tony."
There you go, Tony. So, yeah, no, childlike is different than childish.
That's right.
So don't be childish. Be childlike. Okay, now, Carrie sent me, I thought it was the most beautiful article, short article on the Golden Text about the quickened life, which I'll have Gary read.
The Quickened Life by Jenny Stevens. She writes, Paul gives us a sweet but imperative promise when he says, "If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Quicken. What a strong, reliable word. It means to resuscitate, to revive, to refresh, to reinvigorate, to make alive, to stimulate. What greater blessings could we ask when sick than to have our bodies quickened, refreshed, stimulated, made alive by simply dwelling on the consciousness of Spirit God? Paul knew whereof he spake. He did not refer to material remedies for the sick, but through that simple, clear, concise statement, he said, in language pulsing with life and meaning, "If you are sick and want to be revived or stimulated, go to God and dwell in his consciousness." Jesus said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." And Paul said, "They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh." Here again, we perceive the wisdom of Paul in his choice of the word crucified, which means to subdue completely, destroy the power or ruling influence. If we are Christ's, we shall dwell in the consciousness of God good as he did. Then we shall subdue the asserted power of our bodies, thus presenting them a living sacrifice. To me, one of the clearest, most concise statements which our dear leader has given us is found on page 269 of our textbook. Quote, "Metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul," end quote. When material sense, which is always false, tells us our bodies are sick, if instead of looking upon it as matter, inflamed and diseased, we accept the above statement and at once resolve it into a false concept, then go far enough to know that this falsity cannot abide in the presence of truth, we shall speedily find ourselves free from the yoke of bondage. Quote, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," end quote.
Thank you. So I love that quicken, a strong, reliable word. And can just think about it during the week, what it means to have that Spirit of God quicken us. And I love it. If you are sick and want to be revived or stimulated, go to God and dwell in his consciousness. You know, in Science and Health, in the chapter prayer, where she says, you know, if you can just for a few moments realize your spirituality, if you're sick, you'll find yourself suddenly well. Remember that?
Yes.
Thank you. So anyway,
the mic.
There's a statement in Science and Health, and I'm not sure if I'm quoting this exactly, but Mrs. Eddy says, God expresses in man the infinite idea, forever developing itself, rising higher and higher from a boundless basis. And recently, when I seemed to be in a pain and I had a project to do, and I just thought about that statement, and I thought, well, I'm not doing it. It's God. It's God in me. And that was the end of the pain, and I was able to get right through the project. So I'm very grateful.
Well, good.
Thank you very much, Jill.
I can agree with that. When I had to do the reading for the course this week, I kept reading it and I kept coughing and I said, oh God, you don't cough. And then finally I was able to do it with no other tone other than the reading. So that makes me also feel very grateful.
I love that idea too, that it's not us doing anything except shutting off those distractions so we can hear that still small voice. And because it's the truth, that is, I mean, think about it in math, 2 and 2 is 4, and we don't make it 4, it is 4. But if we're not aware of it because we're surrounded by 2 and 2 is 5 for some reason, then we're suffering from 2 and 2 is 5 when we don't have to. But it's not us doing anything except the recognition that it's 4. So I love that, just knowing that it's God. It takes all the pressure off. It's wonderful.
Well,
that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
And isn't that right? Isn't that the only pressure we should feel anyway, is the pressure, the apostolic pressure, to come out from the material world and be separate?
Yes, that's what we
Yeah. And really, we do have one responsibility, though, as we get rid of the distractions around us and as we humbly go to God and ask to be led by the Spirit. Well, what is the one requirement of us?
To be obedient.
Yes.
Humble.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've had readings. We've even had articles. I can't remember who wrote it, but healing through obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It's our obedience to what, you know, when the still small voice speaks to us, it's our obedience that brings the healing, which is why the spiritualization of thought is so essential. Because otherwise, we're not going to hear it in the first place.
Isn't it also that when we show more gratitude, that we're able to, like Jesus says, I of my own self can do nothing. And that is obedience, to have that insight and awareness and light.
That's obedience and humility also. I mean, if you
exactly.
think you can do it all, well... But if Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing, we should take that position as well. And the only God can do, and so we let him lead us in whatever we're doing. It is through science that I knew about even housework or cooking or anything, that I'm to allow God to lead me. And sometimes it's as if something is talking to you, very soft. But directing you, okay, do this. It's amazing to discover that such an existence is.
Thank you. Yeah, that idea, I love it. Nancy started out with it, we're led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful thought. Now, the scientific statement of being, it's in this lesson. Lawrence read it on Wednesday, so maybe we can talk a little bit about it. It certainly stands on its own, but if anyone wants to say anything.
Well, I would like to say this scientific statement of being coming from a different church and learning here fills me with joy. Yes, fills me with joy. And it's perfect all in itself.
And it's such a perfect treatment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just lays it all out. It's perfect.
And it shows the way that we would quench the spirit. It's all right in there. how quenching goes about.
I think it's worth having, you know, maybe sometimes just taking the significant words in it and making them our own. I felt that was very important. And even children, when they do that, they kind of put it in their own words, substitute those words for their own words. It makes it really for them. I'm talking about who I am, who I really am, what God says I am. It's very important, I feel.
Well, you certainly can't accuse her of not being radical in the statement, right?
No.
But she did say, only by radical reliance on the truth can healing power be obtained. So if we find this difficult at times, you know, who doesn't? Nobody said this was easy. So this requires constant effort, doesn't it? Requires work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because if it couldn't be done, we wouldn't have been given it to do. So it might be.
And it's not the work of any individual. It's other people may say, oh, don't do that. Has nothing to do with what you're doing. It's for your stand individually to, and that's when you really have backbone and find truth works.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you for bearing with me today. I think we're gonna end a little early. Anne from England sent something beautiful, an extract from The Nature of the Infinite by Doris Henty, which Gary will read.
This is by Doris Henty on The Nature of the Infinite. Spirit. You are spirit's full awareness and full experience. Let us see exactly what this means. You are the awareness of every quality of spirit, and you experience every quality and activity of spirit as your own being. Spirit is imperishable. Because you are spirit's self-experience, your health, your joy, your sight, your hearing, your abundance are permanent and indestructible in all their fullness. Spirit is glory. On this account, you live at the height of prosperity. Your being is a state of divine splendor, excellence, and radiant beauty, the full manifestation of the divine nature. Spirit is majestic. All that is regal, magnificent, noble, grand, sublime is your natural experience. Spirit is grace. You are the experience of spirit's attractiveness and tasteful harmony. The charms of congruity, beauty, and comeliness are your innate characteristics. Spirit has sovereign power and might. You are the experience of the supreme power of spirit, which means that no other power can operate as your experience. The efficacy, virtue, ability, and capacity of spirit are forever evident as your own being. Spirit is tangible and natural. All the glorious, immutable qualities of spirit constitute your character and experience. They are your natural instincts and feelings. Spirit is tenderness. You are the continuous experience of the gentleness of spirit, its love and affection, its kind, careful, considerate nature. This means that harshness, severity, or exaction is never you or your experience. Spirit is impregnable. For this reason, your joy, your harmony can never be subdued. Spirit is independent. You are spirit's awareness and experience of harmony, abundance, joy, and freedom, never contingent on any material condition or on any person. You experience the certainty, the continuity, and natural ever-presence of the fullness of good, despite any change of circumstance or material condition. Spirit is supernal freshness and fairness. Because of this fact, your original qualities are unimpaired, showing no sign of being faded, tarnished, worn, exhausted, or fatigued. You are a state of briskness, vigor, alacrity, the continuity of heavenly perfection, beauty, and grace. Spirit preserves and shelters. Hence your perpetual preservation from injury, destruction, hurt, or harm of any kind. Your natural and continuous awareness of the restful feeling of safety, well-being, security, and your freedom from annoyance. Spirit is unerring. Your experience is entirely free from any mistakes or deviation. You can never be wronged. Spirit evolves. Man's capabilities are fully developed. Spirit is natural ever-presence, never localized. The universe of spirit is so vast that it cannot be measured. Yet it is all here as ever-presence, all here as your own infinite all-inclusiveness. Where space seems to be, right there is spirit. Hence, there is no space. What would otherwise be space is filled with solid spirit. This accounts for your safety when flying. You cannot fall through space. There is none. Spirit is the source of supply. Substance is yours, but not through material means. When we realize that spirit is the infinite source of all substance, then we have the fullness of substance here and now, and thus are free from the mortal suggestion that substance is material and limited. The material sense of existence is the source of all lack. But substance is spiritual, infinite, limitless, present in its measureless nature as your own experience. End quote. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.